Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Holiday seasons to everyone on tonight, because we who are saved in Jesus' name, we are so grateful to know without a doubt that Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, is the true and only reason for this season. So once again, we want to thank Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, for coming down from glory in the form of a baby. He was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. He came down to save us from our sins. What a mighty God we serve, because we do know that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. So we thank God for his love for us. We thank Jesus for his love for mankind so much that he came down and sacrificed his perfect life. And he came down and shed his perfect and sinless life on the cross, that he will pay our sin debt on the cross, that we could be saved and redeemed back to our Heavenly Father and our Creator. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, I thank everyone for tuning in on tonight. You are once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox will be sharing God's word on tonight. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem first. Then he's going to share another word from the Lord on tonight with us. So I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready right now so that you can be able to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as we go through God's word together on tonight. We always open up with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please pray with me, because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. As I always say, what a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We come once again touching and agreeing and on one accord, realizing and knowing that you are God and you are God alone. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sit high and you look low. You have and hold all power in heaven and in earth within your hands. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for being a promise keeper. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for every angel that you have been kept around your people that watches over us all through the day and throughout the night while we slumber and sleep. We thank you for just another day that you have made, and you've allowed us to wake up and see it without hurt, harm, or danger. Thank you in the name of Jesus. We come asking, Heavenly Father, that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. That's why we're so grateful on tonight for your Son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, the Savior of the world. We thank you for his sacrifice, that he came down and he paid our sin debt on the cross, that we could be, first and foremost, we could be saved in his name. And then when we do falter and we do fail you and we do sin and error in your sight, that we can come through him and be forgiven of our sins and transgressions, so that our work for you will not be in vain. Now, Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus, lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. I'm continuing to lift up First Lady Jean Tillman from the Morning Star Baptist Church, the First Lady Jean Tillman. We lift up Sister Marcia Cotton and her mother, Jessica Cotton. They all have come down with the COVID virus. And not only them, but others around the world that have that are dealing with the virus on tonight. And not only that situation, but all those that are sick and afflicted for whatever reasons, Heavenly Father, we know that you're God and you're God alone. And we thank you for being our healer. So we ask that you will continue to move by your spirit. And I lifted my Uncle Malachi, my cousin Mary Ann, and her brother, Pastor Norman King, who is still recovering from the virus down in North Carolina. We lift them up to you. And again, all those that are sick and afflicted, touch, heal, and deliver as only you can, because we do know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders in the earth through your healing power, that we who are sick in our minds, spirits, and bodies, that after we are healed, delivered, and set free, we would have a testimony and let the world know that without a doubt, it is you who have healed us in the name of Jesus. We continue to lift up all those, Heavenly Father, that are grieving on tonight, those that are dealing with sorrow on tonight in the loss of loved ones. Continue to comfort them. Continue to let your presence, your peace, and your joy, even during their hour of bereavement on tonight, all over the land. We know that there are many that are hurting, especially during this time of the season of the year, when many are remembering their loved ones who are no longer with us. And, Father, so continue to touch them. Continue to let them feel your presence. Let them feel your joy, even during that bereavement, even if they remember their loved ones that have gone on before us. Let them know and remember that earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray and ask that you will visit on tonight over this airway. As your word goes forth, should there be any listener on tonight that's not saved in Jesus' name, it's our prayer, our hope and desire that through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, and as you use him, and through your Holy Spirit, they will hear your word. And not only hear your word, they will receive it. And after receiving your word, they will open their own mouth, even on tonight, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them. And once you're saved, you will reveal to them what their God purpose is. They will be able to fulfill it in the earth for your glory in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we ask you to help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you will get the glory. Have your way on tonight in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we lift up every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry and platform, even those that are listening in on tonight for the first time. Continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I lift up my pastor and shepherd, Bishop James A. Jennings, and my church family, the Greater Shield of Priest Baptist Church, and all those that are workers in your vineyard all over the land. I just love you, Lord. I thank you for searching every heart. You're not like man. Man looks at the outer appearance, but you search the heart. You know who are truly trying to serve you with a pure heart. So we just thank you for being God and being God all by yourself. We thank you that you cannot lie, fail, nor change. And we bless your name because you are worthy of our praise. No matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are God and you are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we have another spiritual food for thought. when it comes to us saying on tonight, thank God for sending mankind his awesome and perfect gift, Jesus, into the world. Thank God for sending mankind his awesome and perfect gift, Jesus, into the world. Well, again, we want to say Merry Christmas to everyone on the line that's listening in on tonight, because we do, again, as I first stated as we came on the air tonight, that we do know that those of us that are saved in Jesus' name, we know that Jesus is the only and true reason for this season. You have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he get ready to share another word from the Lord with us on tonight. He always shares inspirational poems first. He's going to do the same thing on tonight. And he's, after following the poem, he's going to go directly into God's word. But before he do that, I want all listeners to know that I, and especially the new listeners, I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James underscore Brown 1558 at yahoo.com or on Facebook. And I want you all, the listeners, to know that I do continuously keep you all in my prayers. I know some of you, that there are so many thousands of people that are listening to this worldwide platform and ministry around the world, and there's so many that I do not know, but thank God he knows who you are. So I just lift up everyone in prayer, and that you will continue to lift me up in prayer in this worldwide ministry and platform. Keep it in your prayers that God will continue to be glorified through it, that souls will be saved through it, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built and strengthened and edified through this worldwide platform, that God will continue to be glorified through it. And it's not in vain, and I just thank God for it. We're going to go to our music break right now, and following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. And I'm going to play for us on tonight for the music break, verse, Jesus Christ was born to die for us. And that's why he came down, because he thought that your life and my life and mankind's lives was worth living, that he came down and he sacrificed his perfect blood on the cross to redeem us from our sins and restore us back to our Heavenly Father and our Creator. For this we are grateful on tonight. Enjoy the music break.
You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for.
What an awesome sacrifice that is, that Jesus came down from glory to pay our sin debt with his own perfect sinless blood. What a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I can say. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's why I can say that no matter what we're going through, he is worthy to be praised. So right now, I'm so excited to have once again on the air with us, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with us. Deacon Marvin Cox, I'll now yield the mic to you.
Okay. Before I go, Brother Brown, did you make any announcements, or you don't have any announcements to make?
No, I'm not going to make an announcement tonight.
Okay. Well, we could skip the preliminaries and get to the main event. Amen. I thank the Lord for, once again, this opportunity to bring forth his word, that I'm in a position to do so. Those that have heard me before, as you know, that I always give thanks to God for allowing me and using me as a vessel to bring forth his word. Now, I have a poem tonight that I'd like to share with God's people, and it's called Sermons That We See. Sermons We See. I'd rather see a sermon dear to Hewa any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see the good in others is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may understand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. Amen. I'm going to immediately go into the lesson tonight. It's a wonderful lesson. I'll be coming to you from 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 7, and then I'll drop down to read 13 through 15. And it reads, And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler to the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Now, if we choose a topic tonight, our topic would be, It's You. But it's coming from the 7th chapter of the book of 2 Samuel. As I say, the topic for tonight is, It's You. And this is dealing with how one confronts another concerning their wrongdoing. Now, see, we have to have a strong commitment in order to be able to come to someone, because the reason why a lot of people do not respond when we tell them that they're wrong is because we come a upon them in the wrong way. We tell them, or we'd say to ourselves, we would have rehearsed a saying and say, man, you're wrong. But if I'm wrong, and then I'm doing automatically I'm wrong. But these Ecclesiastes 3rd chapter tell us it's the right way and it's a wrong way of doing everything. But tonight, our specific topic is it's you. And I read to you from 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 7. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and doing of his word and his will. And may he edify our souls forever. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you the story of this confrontation that took place, because a lot of times we tell people, and I know in the neighborhood where I'm from, people sometimes will respond in a negative manner by saying, man, you didn't have to come on me like that. You didn't have to approach me like that. But if you look at the first verse of that 12th chapter, it says, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he sent, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. What is that saying to me, Deacon? It's saying we have to make sure that the Lord has sent us to that individual to let them know of their wrongdoing. We have to make sure that, because sometimes people do aggravating things in the church, and it's none of our concern, but we stick our nose in the Lord's business. And because the preacher don't say nothing about it, and see, this is what we're really good at. We say that that preacher didn't say nothing about it, and that preacher is favoritizing that individual, and I'm going to go to another church because the preacher is constantly letting people get away with this, and he's constantly not saying anything about that. But I'm here tonight to let you know that Nathan was sent to David to let him know what it was that he was doing. Now, the Lord has to move on that preacher, on that messenger, in order for him to come and straighten out that situation, for him to say something about it. Because if I see something and I don't say nothing about it, it's just only natural human instincts to say that if I didn't say nothing, or how the expression goes, if I didn't nip it in the bud, that I'm going along with it. But that's not so, because the Lord, that was not the time. Ecclesiastes lets us know that it's a time for everything. And so however the Lord move, or however the Lord operate, I have to be sent. As I say, the Lord have to touch my heart. Because once sometimes we say, man, it couldn't have been me. I would walk up one side of that brother and down the other. So we have to be careful. And see, we know the story of David. We know that he rose from a lowly position to a mighty, mighty king. We know that the infractions that, okay, first of all, we know that he was a holy man of God. But being a holy man of God, or being a holy woman of God, I want you to hear me good, it does not exempt anyone from mistreating someone else. It does not exempt anyone from offending someone else. Because I've heard many, many people in many different churches and denominations have their self-proclaimed righteousness, and they cannot see the wrong that they have done to others, and they feel that they're justified in doing some things. But let me continue on in the story. It said, the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, so he was well off. He had everything that a rich man could want. And so sometimes we allow our materialistic possessions to dominate our common sense, to run roughshod over others. And in verse number 3 of that 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, it said, but the poor man had nothing. He was so poor, he couldn't even pay attention. It said, except for one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did not eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. Now, this is directed to people who, you know, have families, but also who have pets. See, this lamb, this ewe lamb, was not raised as, you know, how people, they buy a lamb or they buy livestock, I'll put it that way, and then they got the purpose of fattening up just for one day when they have that feast at the end of the year. But you know how sometimes people become so attached to their pets, and then they're attached to their pets. They don't feed them Alpo. They don't feed them Gaines. They don't feed them none of those kennel ration. They don't feed them dog food. They feed their animals their table food. They feed them from their table, and then even go to the point where sometimes the dog or cat or whatever is so close and so attached to that owner that they sleep in the bed with them. So in other words, they treat that, and I know that there's a lot of pet lovers out there that look at their pets not as an animal, but as a family member. And so he nurtured this ewe lamb. He nurtured it up and never thought about, at one time or another, never thought about, you know, one day this is going to be my lunch. So he had nothing except for this one little lamb. You know, they say Mary had a little lamb, but this poor man had a little lamb. And he took care of that lamb. And just like you would your child, you're going to nurture that child and take care of that child and meet the needs of that child. And you're going to feed that child. And you're going to comfort that child. And so that was all that he had. And so said he'd treat him like a daughter. So sometimes, you know, we consider our animals as our children. I know there are a lot of lonely women out there who, you know, don't have nothing in the house but pets. And in the process of them having their pets, they grow so attached to them that their pets become their children, and they leave big estates to that cat or that dog or whatever. Why? Because that animal has served a great purpose in their life. That animal has been there, has never complained, has never mistreated them or anything like that, like people do. So this, needless to say, there was a great attachment to this lamb. All right, now we're going to move on down to the verse number 4. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, of his own herd, to dress for the wayfarer man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Now, have you ever seen somebody that has more than enough, but then that little 2 cents that you got, they put you in a position where you have to spend yours, or you have to use yours or utilize yours. And basically, you say for a traveling man, so this obviously was a stranger. Now, this man, it said in verse number 2, that this rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. So he would not have missed it if he took one of the fatted calves out of his herd or took one of the lambs out of his herd and dressed him. When they say dressed, I mean that they slaughtered him and prepared him the same way that they might do a venison, the same way that they might do a lamb or something like that. They, you know, cut him up into steaks or lamb chops or whatever it was that they required at that particular, or some type of a roast. And so he didn't take of his. Now, so many people out there who will utilize yours, and they got way, way, way more than what you got. They will have a brand new car, but they want to ride around the city in your car that's falling apart. They will want to do and take advantage of those things, and because we love some people so much, we take the little that we got and we give. Or sometimes they take, just like our government sometimes, when we live in maybe a neighborhood that's run down, and the government wants to build a new complex there. So they take away our land. They call it eminent domain. They take away our land to benefit rich people. They take away our land to benefit corporations. They take away our land to give to others. And as the poor man was, he was powerless to stop it, because he might have went to the court system and said, hey, I protest this. But in a lot of cases, these things are stacked against us. So he took this stranger, this wayfaring man, this man that, you know, could have been a child of God, we don't know, but he just said that it was a wayfaring man. He was a traveler, and back in those days, basically not like they do now, but hospitality was a very important thing. Whereas when someone come into your environment, the hospitality that you show that individual. You know, but some of us do it now when, you know, a relative come to our place. We normally lay out the red carpet for them. We normally go way out of our way for them. We normally take them to the best restaurants that's available at that particular time. So this rich man, he had much. He had many. He had more than enough. And so upon this, he took from the poor man, took the one thing that he loved, the one thing that he had nurtured, the one thing that he had considered to be family, and he took it away. The poor man was powerless to stop him. And he said, and so this confrontation, remember, this is a confrontation that's taking place. And so you know how sometimes when somebody is doing wrong, as I said, we got to be careful how we confront people. We have to be careful to the extent that we're painting a picture, and this picture of them that we are painting, we have to put it in a way that they can identify with it, because some people do wrong. Some people do wrong, and they don't even know that they're doing wrong, because why? It's normal to them to do this thing. You know, I'm rich and powerful. I step on anybody that I want to. I take yours, and it ain't nothing you can do about it. But as Nathan is explaining this to David, guess what? David cops an attitude. He said, wait a minute, hold on. He said, this ain't even right. Now, this is David himself speaking. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that done this shall surely die. Now, why is it that it's so easy for us to recognize the wrong that somebody is doing and not realize that we're doing wrong ourselves? Why is it that we can mistreat people? We can run over people. And then when somebody else do it, we could quickly run to that individual's defense and say, don't do that. Why are you treating this individual this way? You know better than this. So David's anger began to kindle up, as I was saying, inside of him to the extent that he wanted to know who this perpetrator was. He wanted to know who in the world had this much nerve, because if you see somebody that's well-to-do taking from somebody that's not so well off, it would make anybody mad. It would give anybody an instant attitude saying, you shouldn't do that individual like that. You just took everything that he had, and you got more than enough. Or somebody gets something or obtains something, and you got more than enough to sustain you until the Lord comes. But you want to begrudge that individual from having what they have. So David began to get angrier and angrier about this situation, because Nathan is describing it to him in such a way without basically letting him know who the real culprit is. Now, listen at verse number 6. This is David talking. And he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing. And because what? He had no pity. Now, how many people are out there and they do things and they don't have no pity or no sympathy for those toes that they step on? Don't have, you know, in the church, you know, if people get a position, or it might be a person there that's worthy and that's been trying to get that position for a long time, and we go into the political range because we begin to expose, or we begin to magnify that individual's shortcoming. Say, well, this individual, he don't have no car, and he can't get to the services on time, but he's been catching the bus for 15 years. Ain't never missed a service. Ain't never been late. Now, here go people with cars, and they still getting there late. See, across from the church and still, see, right across from the church and still walking there late. But here go a man that is coming, and he's coming in from way on the other side of town and got to get up early in the morning and commute across town. But then this individual with the car that stays next door said, well, you know, when you need them to go out on mission, how is he going to do that? So sometimes we disqualify people because of what we think that they can't do. Now, if this man had been traveling across town all of this time, hey, Mr. Service, been there on time, every time the doors open up or the church is open, why isn't he qualified to do what the Lord would have him to do? So, as I say, sometimes people get passed over. Why? Because other people don't think that they're qualified to do some things. Don't think they're qualified to carry out certain business of the church. So David was, by then, you could probably cook Sunday dinner on this man's neck, because he's angry. He'd have heard enough. He said, wait a minute now, this person should not only give him that lamb back, but give them fourfold. But see, I'm telling y'all, the damage has already been done. Now, see, this confrontation, see, now this is a confrontation, whereas this is how it should be. When you confront somebody, they should be getting mad at themselves instead of mad at you. Now, we know the Bible says, am I your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. And see, every storyteller has to paint a picture. But see, Nathan was so, because he was sent from God. Remember, he was sent from God in the first verse. He was sent from God, so God chose the words for him to speak to tell this king how wrong he was. And by him telling him, him, and by him telling him how wrong he was, see, he still have not connected the dots yet. Because as I say, you can always see the wrong that somebody is doing to somebody else, but then you're completely turned blind. You know, you got glaucoma or macular degeneration or one of those other eye diseases, and you can't see. You can't see. Which brings us to our topic for tonight. After David had his little rant and his rave, say, man, we got, you know, first of all, he said, this guy needs to die. Then he said, but first, before, I mean, paraphrasing him, but before we kill him, before he's, no, he said, we'll surely die. But before we do, wait a minute, we got to compensate this man right here who took this loss. We took his patch, and we know that patch cannot be replaced. Now, as I say, here comes the topic for tonight. It's you. He said, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. So in other words, it's you, sir.
Yeah.
It's you. Now, he had to tell the story like that because we got to be careful how we confront the king or how we confront the queen or how we confront the diva or how we confront our daughters, our sons, our wives, our brothers, our sisters. We have to be careful because we don't want them to channel that anger and that wrongness at us. But see, Nathan painted a masterful picture. And he painted it in such a way, and then as the Gap man say, he dropped a bomb on him. He dropped the bomb. He dropped the bomb on him. He said, wait a minute, it's you. And in the process of him doing that, when David come to the realization, wait a minute, I've been wrong. Because as I say, once again, we could always see the wrong that somebody been doing. So we got to look upon our lives. We look at this pandemic situation and we think about, and see, why is it that we always think about the wrong that somebody has done to us? Why is it that we always think about somebody mistreating us? Why is it that we can't remember? You know, we get amnesia. When somebody said, you did this. I did? You know, like that's the first time we had it. So, my brothers and my sisters, it's time this evening for a self-examination. Because some people, and we got to be careful about this, because the Lord's Prayer said this. It said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. So what does that say to us? It says sometimes we offend people without really knowing that we offended them. See, David here was ignorant of the offense that he took. God said, okay, well, hey, you know, and some people say, well, a lamb's a lamb. But a lamb is not a lamb. If it's my lamb and you got 1,000 lambs, it's my only lamb. So we have to look at this and look at the picture, and anybody say, hey, man, you had enough. You had enough to, you wouldn't even missed it. I'll put it that way. As I say, but see, we have to be careful, extremely careful how we approach people. I'm going to give you another biblical example. When the king put out a decree, this is a different king. This is the king of Daniel. Okay. And when those three Hebrew boys, when the king went out, sent out a decree, and he said that at the sound of Sackbut, the sound of all of these instruments, every knee, he wanted everybody to bow down and submit. But see, there were three that did not submit. That was three
Deacon
to
Marvin Cox. Deacon Marvin Cox, excuse me, I want to interrupt you real quick. I want to make a correction. I know what you meant to say, but you're speaking about King Nebuchadnezzar.
That's him. Okay, well, what I'm saying, he was still the king during Daniel's time is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm just saying he made a decree at that time, and I thank you, my brother. You know, his name didn't come to my mind, but that's the fella. So when he made that decree and he told them that at the sound of all of these instruments that everyone would bow, but you had these three contrarians, these three men of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, no, we ain't going, I don't care. So it was a plea went out to the king, and he approached the king, as I say, and he said, now, could you imagine this, somebody telling you off or telling you in a nice way, oh, great king, live forever. So it's a right way, and it's a wrong way of doing everything. Let's get back to this story here. Ecclesiastes says that it's a time to speak and a time not to speak. That's why that preacher didn't say nothing, because the Lord didn't move on him. It's a time that a person will receive you, and it's a time that an individual will reject you. So I'm just saying that when this confrontation takes place, but see, when the Lord send you, it's the right time, regardless of how an individual may react to that situation. It is the right time. So, as I said, he stimulated King David's thoughts. He stimulated his thoughts to the point that it began to make him sorrowful in his way of thinking. It made him feel that he was wrong. And that's all you want somebody to do is to know that they're wrong, but you got to paint that picture, because automatically they know they're wrong, but most people will reject you when you tell them that wasn't right. Now, they know, if you've been in the church all of these years or around the church, even in the front of the church, waiting on the bus, you know the difference between right and wrong. So, but when an individual just take the time out to diligently explain to you, not that you're stupid, not that you're ignorant or anything like that, but sometimes we have to take, and I'm good at this, we have to take the taxi cab route. But see, some people call it sugarcoating. You don't have to put no sugarcoat on the truth. Just tell the truth. But sometimes we have to... Sometimes we just have to speak in parables to keep the wrath of the people, because see what they're going to do, and this is the residuals of that, what they're going to do for Deacon Marvin Cox telling somebody what's wrong, they're not only going to blame Deacon Marvin Cox, but they're going to blame the whole church as a body. Scapegoat the church because you told them what was right. But if you tell them what's right and it involves nobody but them and you paint this picture, if you're going to get mad at somebody, why not get mad at yourself? If you're going to get upset with somebody, why not get upset with yourself? So I'm just telling you, my brothers and my sisters, all these things that's going on right now, and you might not even listen to the show no more, but it's you. We got to take that, you know, I'm going to run that risk. But all the things that can happen to somebody, or all the things that, you know, it's just time to take that examination. It's me. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. It's me. Okay. I'm sorry. I left myself out. It's you. It's me. But it's us. And it's an old song that we used to sing a long time ago, and I know, you know, a lot of people remember this song. It's me, oh Lord. standing in need of prayer.
Yes,
so
Lord.
It's all of us, you know. And see, I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want you to take this personal or nothing like that. But it's you. And see, I want you to personalize that it's you. To what can I do to rectify this situation? Because I done, you know, when I didn't hurt people's feelings without doing that, I would never hurt somebody's feelings on purpose. But I done accidentally hurt somebody's feelings and found out later that my activities or my actions offended somebody. But then it gives me that opportunity to reconcile. See, David was talking about reconciliation here. He was talking about reconciliation when he said that the man should be compensated for that which he lost. So I'm just going to ask you, are you ready and willing to compensate people for the hurt and the harm that you caused? Now, you might say, well, hey, I can't pay my cousin back that money. But it's one thing that you can do that'll make all things better and make things better with that individual, make things better with you, and especially make things better with Christ. And that is to reconcile, to apologize.
Yes, yes.
When
right.
That prodigal son went and he did his thing out there in the streets, he came back unto reconciliation. He said, you know, and he even might have rehearsed the things that he was saying to his, that he was going to say to his daddy, man, I don't know what I was thinking, man. I was crazy. Please forgive me. Let me back in here. Because that world out there is crazy. So that's the one way that you could stop it from being you. By going back and reconciling. And reconciling in a way in which, because when you ask me to forgive you, you see, some people don't really know what forgive me means. But I'm going to tell you this evening. When you ask for forgiveness, you're saying, that which I did against you, I will do no more. I'm godly sorrowful for the pain, the hurt, the frustration that I caused you. So, and sometimes the word I'm sorry from a sincere heart, from a contrite spirit, is all the difference in the world. It's all sometimes when, you know, when it's some type of confusion or conflict going on, we just be waiting on the phone for somebody to say, I'm sorry.
That's right.
And guess what? And it just goes back to business as usual. Because when you say, I'm sorry, it's something that I've done. And we're not justifying doing, but it's something that I've done that didn't sit right with you. And please forgive me. Now that I'm aware of what I've done to you, I'm going to try my absolute best not to do that no more. So
amen.
I thank God for tonight's lesson. Remember, Nathan told David, it's you. Now, we could tell ourselves, it's me. And see, tonight we just put the blame where it belongs on some of the things that we have done to other people. So I now turn you back over to the hands of Brother Brown. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Deacon Marvin Cox, for the way you delivered that word. It's almost like you was giving us a parable that we can see the picture that was painted as you were sharing this story of Nathan and David. Thank God for you, how he uses you to break the word down. The word of God says, out of all thy getting, get understanding. And so you have painted this picture very clear so that we all would need to realize and know that we sometimes need to examine our own selves according to God's word, because we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to cause anyone to never give their life to Jesus Christ. As Christians, we don't never want to be the cause of anyone walking away from God. So I thank God for you, because your poem sermons we see kind of coincides with this message for tonight. So we just thank God for how he uses you to deliver his word over this worldwide network and over this worldwide platform that we can be able to receive the word, we can be able to see ourselves in the word, and that we can go to God in prayer. We can ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of all of our sins, that we can go to our brother and our sister in Christ that we have offended, whether it's our sister and brother in Christ or neighbor or co-worker, someone that's not saved, that we can go to that individual and ask to be forgiven. And don't do that anymore, what we have done to offend someone. So thank God for you on tonight for delivering this powerful word on tonight, Deacon Robin Cox. Before we close out for tonight, I want the listeners to know that on Christmas night, this coming Saturday night, which is Christmas, the day that mankind has set aside is the day that Christ was born. We don't know the exact date that Jesus Christ was born, but thank God that he was born. But the day that man has set aside for Christmas to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ is on Saturday, this coming Saturday, December the 25th. There will be a word from the Lord through Pastor Norman King, my first cousin, from Greensboro, North Carolina. He is the pastor of the Victor's Outreach Ministries, located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be delivering a word from the Lord on Christmas night, this coming Saturday night, December the 25th. So you want to tune in to hear another word from the Lord through Pastor Norman King. So once again on tonight, we know that Jesus Christ is the only reason for this season. So we just thank God for Jesus Christ, our perfect example. We thank God for his perfect blood that was shed on the cross, and that we, through him, we can be saved. And then through him, we can also be forgiven of our sins and transgressions. So thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank you for his birth and his sacrifice. So right now, we're getting ready to close out for tonight, and I want the worldwide listeners to know that, again, that I love you. I'm always praying for you, all the listeners. Even though I may know some of you all, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners around the world that faithfully tuned into this worldwide ministry and platform, and for this, we're grateful. And so we ask that you will continue to lift up this ministry, this worldwide platform, that it will continue to be everything that God has set out for it to be, that men, women, boys, and girls can be saved through his word over this worldwide platform, that souls will be brought back to Jesus Christ, and that the body of Christ will continue to be built up and strengthened and edified through this worldwide ministry platform. Because as I always say, it's not about me. It's not about the guests. It's all about Jesus. So that's what this is all about, so that God will continue to be glorified. So we're going to give it a close out for tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus, we come once again, touching and agreeing that you are God and you are God alone. And you're worthy of our praise no matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. And we thank you that you are our promise keeper. You are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people, of your faithful doers of your word. Not just those that are hearing your word, but those that are faithful doers of your word. That's what your word said. So we're standing on your word, Heavenly Father. We know that you cannot lie still nor change. We thank you that you don't slumber nor sleep. And we thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. And you are in total control at all times. So we just bless your name on tonight. We thank you for our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who came down as a perfect sacrifice, sinless, shedding his blood on the cross, that we could be saved and redeemed and be restored back to you. For this, we're grateful for the birth of our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, Jesus Christ, your Son, in whom you said you are pleased. This is your beloved Son, in whom you're well pleased with. So we just thank you for his sacrifice for us. He didn't have to do it, but he did, and we are grateful for it. So we just bless your name on tonight because you are truly worthy to be praised. And we thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. You are our everything. Without you, we can do nothing. But with Jesus Christ, we know that all things are possible to them that believe. So we just bless your name on tonight. Continue to have your way in each one of our lives individually, then as a corporate body of believers, that you continue to get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, once again, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Don't forget to tune in this coming Saturday night to hear another word from Pastor Norman King, my first cousin from Greensboro, North Carolina, Victor's Outreach Ministries, will be delivering another word from the Lord on this coming Saturday night, Christmas night. Until then, continue to be blessed. Good night.